Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Trouble with the Snap podcast on a Monday nearing 12:30. Tyler Hayward, my Spartan colleague, will join me momentarily. We're going to talk about the Michigan State 87-69 victory over Michigan. Cassius Winston, 39 points, 9 assists. Fantastic game. I mean, as a Michigan fan, you watch Cassius Winston. It's hard not to root for him. He's just a phenomenal point guard. He does things that every coach would want in his point guard. Great court vision, pushes the ball to pass. Fantastic off-ball screen action. Me and Tyler broke this down. We knew this was going to be an issue for Michigan to defend it, and he proved us right. I mean, he was dominant. He dissected that defense, sliced and diced that defense, was crafty against that defense. I mean, the list goes on and on. And you know, you hate to talk about only one player because Xavier Tillman was very good last night too, and I think Michigan State had 11 blocks as a team, which is unreal. And they were difficult to score on at times inside, even though Michigan did have 36 points in the paint. Michigan State defensively was outstanding at moments, and they made Michigan pay for any miss they had or any turnover they had. And really it was a performance where we have to now say Michigan State, when they're clicking, is not only a Final Four level team, but a team that could win a national championship. We mentioned this beginning of the season that this is a team led by Cassius Winston, who has leadership, has depth, has guys that have been around long enough to really lead this team to the end. And this is a team and a program that is built on toughness, and they were tough last night. They played well, and when they didn't play well, they did just enough to keep that lead comfortable enough. You know, you looked at times, it got to 9 in the second half towards the end, and then Michigan State would come down and hit a couple shots, make a couple plays. And it's led by Winston. It's just one of those things when you, in basketball, when you have one player who can really make a difference. I would compare it a little bit to the quarterback in football, in college football especially, and even the NFL. When you have that one guy who can make plays, who can do things that other guys cannot, you find yourself in a situation where you can do big things. Michigan State has a big-time player that equals big-time things. And look, it's if you're a Spartan fan, enjoy these next few months. I mean, really enjoy it because you have a phenomenal basketball player on your team. The story is there. Cassius losing his brother earlier in the season was a tragedy, and this is becoming a feel-good story. And in sports, you know, we need these things. We need feel-good stories, and that's why you seem to want to root for Cassius Winston. Even if you're a Wolverine fan, he's phenomenal for him to go out there and play that well, considering something that happened within his family. Really talks to the, you know, speaks on the character of him and the program of Michigan State, them being able to handle this appropriately and really not running from it, definitely mentioning it. And it's a key part to this season for Michigan State. So it's becoming a storyline. It already was one, but as we go further on in this season, it will continue to be that. When we get into March, this is going to be, a movie-like thing. It really is. So you find yourself rooting for Cassius Winston, and you also find yourself rooting a little bit for Michigan State, considering what they've went through. We'll talk a lot about just the game here shortly when Tyler jumps on. I thought Juwan Howard definitely was at a disadvantage in his first game. I mean, you lose someone like Isaiah Livers, that's already going to make a tough game tougher. I don't think Michigan wins that game even with Isaiah Livers. That's my personal opinion. I think Michigan's losing a lot of scoring depth from last year. We mentioned this early on in the season, and I knew at some point it would come up and bite Michigan, but it is right now. You got to have certain guys that can step up. And although Brandon Johns did play pretty well, guys like Austin Davis came off the bench and played pretty well. Michigan State was just far too deep, and they had the best player on the court and at home. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can point to and say this is going to be a tough game for Michigan no matter what. I mean, when they play at the Chrysler next month, it's going to be a tough team to beat. And if they continue to grow, Michigan State, that is, this is going to be a really tough out for anybody, but really Michigan in a rivalry game, a game that Tom Izzo takes very seriously. His statements proved that in his post game. you know, speaking highly of Juwan Howard, but also saying, hey, we're not going anywhere. This is Michigan State. We're here to stay. They're going to do big things, but we are also. It's going to be an intense rivalry. We knew that coming in. I thought it was a very physical basketball game. I thought Michigan did fight very hard. You've seen a lot of loose balls that went in Michigan's favor. Those are typically the plays that go Michigan State's favor, and Michigan kind of kept themselves in the game by doing the little hustle plays. They did not shoot the ball well, again, from outside. Michigan has really been hampered with poor shooting on the road this year. They just have not shot the ball well. You look at the Louisville game. You now look at this Michigan State game. I think Illinois was probably the game they still shot okay, but they just didn't defend very well. And then that's the other thing we'll talk about a lot in this show is Michigan has to defend better. You have to find a way to get stops. 87 points is just far too many, even when you're playing Michigan State. And they give up 44 in the first half. Obviously, a lot of that is Cassius Winston. Maybe you take Cassius Winston out of the fold there. It's a different ball game. But guess what? Michigan State has that guy, and you're going to have to find a way to limit him. I mentioned it. One of my colleagues, and I would consider friend now, I talked a lot of basketball with, former Michigan Wolverine Sean Higgins, said it best on one of his posts. You got to find a way to get the ball out of Cassius Winston's hands right away. You can't let him continue to dribble, him dance around, go off ball screens and do whatever he want. Me and Tyler broke this down. I thought it was going to be a huge problem if they allowed him to just do whatever he wanted, and that's exactly what happened. He went off the ball screen. You know, he was patient. He waited for his opportunity to shoot. He waited for his opportunity to get someone open. You can't allow that to happen. So adjustments need to be made. You know, they need to be made for the next time they play. You cannot let Cassius Winston have the basketball and him just dribble around and do whatever he wants. You may have to double him. You may have to trap him. You may have to do something different. He's just too good. He's too good of a player to just play straight up or play the same way you'll play against other teams. And that's a huge credit to that young man, because he was fantastic. I mean, that was one of the better performances I've seen in this rivalry game. I mean, you can look at guys like Nick Stauskas, who played really, really well against Michigan State years ago. Trey Burke had some big moments in this game. Kalen Lucas obviously has had some big moments in this game, had a big shot in 2010. We could go on and on, but I think this is one of those performances that was possibly the greatest performance by a Michigan State Spartan against Michigan. And that's a big statement, because there's been a lot of really good moments for Michigan State against Michigan and vice versa. But it's just, you can't not talk about them. I mean, the title of this show, Cassius Rules Everything Around Here. I mean, that's what it is. He runs this state right now. They've won four in a row now. And you can't run from that. You can't run from what you have to deal with when you play Michigan State. You're dealing with a great point guard, one of the best players in the country. And Tyler's with me. So, Tyler, let's jump in and talk about it. I mean, how could we not talk about Cassius Winston and highlight him more than anything else on this show today? I find myself watching the game, one, cringing, and then also frustration, but also me watching going, wow, he's just a fantastic player. Talk about this performance. Tyler, I just said it. It might have been one of the greatest performances I've seen in this rivalry game. But your initial thoughts on Cassius Winston, because he was amazing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's definitely right up there. Going back to, I think Charlie had 26 in 2000 and when Mateen Cleaves had 20 assists but in a single game. But, yeah, this was unbelievable. And I'm not really that big of a fan of Ian Eagle, but you know, some of the things that he was saying, I was like, yeah, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. In regards that, you know, every movement has a purpose, kind of like an Andre Miller type, and that Cassius kind of dictates where not just his team goes, but you know, the other five guys on the defensive end. And you saw that a lot when Howard tried mixing things up a little bit. It looked like a triangle and 2-1-1-3 type setup, and Cassius just sat there and he made the plays. He made it, you know, he turned it into a 2-3 zone really quick, and they got a couple of Izzo's zone offense working, where typically Michigan State in their set they would have been able to take it away, and he just navigated everything perfectly. And every, you know, credit to Michigan, though. There were a couple times where it looked like Michigan State was about ready to just run away with it and just, you know, crush them. And Michigan stayed within striking distance. And let's say it's a 8-point, it's an 8-point game. You know, Michigan State has the ball. They hit a three, and you're like, okay, finally, you know, you can build that gap and you can get a little more comfortable. But then the next possession down, you know, Teske comes down and hits a three. And then Cassius is like, okay, well, I got your answer. And Cassius was the one who, every time Michigan started hitting those shots where it's like, okay, they're staying within striking distance, you know, Cassius was like Lee Corso with the not so fast, my friend type setup. And it could have been with the shot, could have been with his passing. You know, he did everything.
He did. He did everything. And I think we kind of, you know, on the Michigan side, you fear this. We talked about how you're going to defend him with ball screen action. They did everything wrong in that sense. I thought they defended it to start the game incredibly wrong, having Simpson go over the top and then having your big guy back up. It's just clearly they did not watch enough of Cassius Winston in that mid-range jumper, because it's very pure. He can hit that shot at will. He's great going around the screen, hitting a floater, short jump shot. And also, he's fantastic from outside. I mean, you have to get the ball out of his hands. I mentioned this earlier, Sean Higgins, a former Wolverine player who was a national champion. You know, his status said it best. The adjustments are everything when you play them again. You got to get the ball out of his hands. I mean, if you just, you know, you'll deal with everyone else beating you if they play that well. And then you just tip your hat and say, Michigan State's that good. I mean, where we can get the ball out of his hands, and then Aaron Henry and Gabe Brown are just making plays, which they never really did that. They basically said, we're going to defend them the same way we defend other guys or similar. And you just can't do that against Cassius Winston. He's too good. And then when they went zone, I mean, the game was kind of, you know, already at a little bit of, you know, I guess a gap. Michigan State had already had enough rhythm and had leads multiple times. If you're going to run that zone, maybe you start it earlier. You see the what's going to happen. You see already that Cassius is going to dominate. Hey, let's just go zone now. I mean, it's not going to work. There's a lot of things that you could point to afterwards, though, and you could say, well, they should have done this, they should have done that. In the end, Cassius was too good. You got to make adjustments. I thought Michigan played really hard. They did a very good job of keeping it, like you said, at arm's length at times, and then Cassius just continued to be Cassius. And in the end, there's a couple things that I point to when I look at both teams. I don't think that anything is really shocking. I mean, I think everything we're seeing now is what we probably expected before the season started. We expected Michigan State to be really, really good. We expected Michigan to be kind of a work in progress. I think that's where we are. I mean, I think we are exactly at the prediction point. I think Michigan has to really find a way to make up for guys they've lost. They're going to have to find a way to win some games. I mean, this is a scary time. You know, I've seen a lot of basketball, Tyler, and this is a time where you can get real unconfident quickly, where you can lose confidence, losing some games. And now Michigan at 10-4, we had mentioned this, you got to get close to that 20 win season. I don't know if 10 more wins is going to be tough for this basketball team. Let's talk about Michigan, because as much as I think that we were high on Juwan Howard, which we should be, this is a tough Big Ten, and this is scary, scary, scary times for Michigan basketball, because you get a situation where you lose 3 or 4 Big Ten games in a row, you're now starting to say, wait a minute here, what's going on? I mean, talk about Michigan.
Look, I don't think it's that bad for Michigan, because you talk about losing confidence quickly. Well, you have Xavier Simpson, you have John Teske, you have two really quality leaders, guys who, you know, have seen literally everything. And I think that those are those types of guys. Plus, obviously, when you add Isaiah Livers, so he's pretty confident himself. And you can lose 3 or 4 Big Ten games. I don't think that that's that big of a deal. You got your signature wins. I mean, granted, you know, North Carolina's not what we thought they were. Gonzaga's, I feel, a 7-man rotation on the last day of a 3-day tournament. I feel like that kind of made them a little shorthanded, but Gonzaga's going to win because the because their conference sucks, and they'll be a top 10 team by the end of the year still. They may lose one or two, but with St. Mary's still up. But, yeah, I mean, Michigan's going to be fine. You can lose three or four games, and if you're losing them to Ohio State, Michigan State, and I was going to say Purdue, but we saw what Illinois did to them last night. But if you lose to those teams, Penn State, there we go. If you lose to, like, those three teams or something like that, it's not that big of a deal. Look, the Big Ten's going to be brutal. Anybody can beat anybody else on any given day, with the exception of maybe, you know, Rutgers beating Michigan State. I think that would probably be the only exception. But, yeah, anyone can beat anyone on any given day. So there's going to be a lot of teams with a lot of losses in the Big Ten, and I think it's fine. It's the toughest conference in America for a reason. And, I mean, you are probably going to lose some of those fringe bubble teams due to the amount of losses, but, I mean, those teams wouldn't really have an opportunity at a championship. It sucks to see, but that's how deep the Big Ten is you're going to lose some bubble teams that should definitely be in the tournament. And I can't count the amount of times, you know, I've thought something like that of a Northwestern-type team. So Michigan will be fine. They have the confidence. They can afford to lose a couple games and be where they want to be. And they can still be a five seed or higher in the tournament. So I don't think things are that bad for Michigan.
Well, I think this is the thing that people don't look at enough. You know, all the things you said about Gonzaga, I don't care. I think Michigan, the way they played against Atlanta, the Battle of Atlantis, they would probably have beat a lot of teams that week because they played well. They shot the ball well. When they don't shoot the ball well, just like most teams, you struggle. But you got to have that something that makes up for it. Last year they had defense because they really didn't play that well offensively last year. People forget that.
No.
With Yaklish as the assistant coach, and he was kind of like their D coordinator, they became better and stronger on defense. That's why they were good last year. Right now they're not as good defensively, and then you lose the scores that you lose, and then you lose Livers. The confidence doesn't mean player for player, like where, hey, all these Michigan players are going to have no confidence because they've lost. They're not going to have any confidence because they're not ready for this situation where they have to step up and make plays to win big games. And that's a worry if you're Michigan, because you got to sit here and say, if you're Juwan Howard, how can we win games? What can we do to beat good teams? And people, hey, this is not an excuse when you say we lost Isaiah Livers, it's going to kill us. It's the reality. The reality is they're not deep enough. They're not like Michigan State. I laugh at the fan bases because Michigan State fans are saying, well, we don't have Joshua Langford. People seem to forget that they were just fine without him last year. They won a lot of games last year without him because they had depth. They have guys like McQuaid who played better. They had guys like Kenny Goins who played pretty well. They had guys like Aaron Henry who stepped up. Michigan doesn't have that luxury. The things you said about Simpson and Teske, sure. But that's not going to be enough because here's the deal. Simpson ain't Winston. Simpson's not a guy who can hit shots. Simpson is not that leader who can make plays. Yeah, and I think that this is a situation for Michigan basketball that can be scary. It just is. You have to look in the mirror and realize what you have, and you're not going to win basketball games with Brandon Johns being another scorer. He's just not ready yet. You're not going to win basketball games needing scoring from Eli Brooks. It's not going to happen. He's not ready. He proved that. So either they get better in a hurry, which from what I've learned in basketball, it's too quick, it's too soon. The season flies by fast. You're hanging on for dear life. What the heck can we do to win? They got to play better defense. They got to find a way to defend better. They can't give up 44 points in the first half against Cassius Winston or not. You got to find a way to hold teams down. And that was the troubling part. The troubling part was that I thought that would be the huge concentration. Oh, my gosh, we lost Livers. What do we do? Oh, my, we have to play great defense. Let's concentrate on that end. It didn't happen. They didn't have a very good game plan to defend Cassius. So the jury's out. I mean, but we expected this. We expected them to struggle. I thought that they would have five losses by now, and they're kind of right there. Michigan State then, look, we thought this would be where they are. They're leading the Big Ten. They're 4-0. They're clicking finally. You got 2 months to really get to March. is there something that you still see where you say, because the expectation's so high, Tyler, you kind of look at it and go, if we just get that down, this part, man, we really are going to be tough to beat.
I don't know, and it's kind of hard to say right now. I mean, obviously Aaron Henry needs to play better. I think he only had 6 points yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, and four of them were in like a 30-second window. With the right hand too, which was, I mean, just his ability to finish with his right hand is phenomenal for a guy who's a predominant lefty. But just how I think that's the one thing, because we still need to see how Michigan State integrates Watts back from his injury in full. Obviously, we saw it a little bit yesterday. He was running point. He was breaking people down. He did look good. His shot looks like, you know, it may be falling a little bit. You know, maybe that injury was kind of slowing him up in regards to a shot and, you know, making things a little bit harder for him. But we need to see how they integrate Watts, you know, in full, getting back into basketball shape before we can say, okay, well, this is the finished product of Michigan State. Now we need to do this. Because Michigan State's not had that finished product for a while. You know, Winston missed the Western game. Watts was out for a little bit. You know, now Lawyer's not playing as much. Bingham was awful against Michigan. And so now you have to kind of reconsider what you're doing at the four again and try to get
let's not get carried away.
To where he was playing against, like, the way he did against Illinois.
Let me say one quick point about Bingham. I mentioned this to a few guys. John Teske's a load. John Teske's going to give people problems no matter who it is, Tillman, Bingham. I think that you're right, but let me just say this. He's still key, but go on. But we are going to touch on him in a second.
Yeah. And, I mean, look, I'm not bashing the kid. I think that it was a tough matchup, but you also saw what he did against Kofi Coburn, and he just shut Coburn down and just completely humiliated him. So I don't understand what the difference is really between him and Teske, because I feel like Coburn brings a little more physicality to his game, though Teske may be all around harder to guard around the basket. But, I mean, we still don't have this finished product for Michigan State because they've not been entirely healthy, you know, missing guys here and there. Just a couple of games, you know. I'm not saying, oh, Josh Langford needs to come back before we make a decision, because obviously he's out for the season. But they need to have, like, a consistent rotation, starting with the perimeter. And obviously they need to find out what to do at the other forward position, because, look, one thing that's getting lost in this entire, you know, Winston mania that is crossing the mitten right now is Xavier Tillman had an absolutely fantastic game against Illinois, and he did the exact same thing against Michigan. He was amazing in that regard, and I don't feel like people are talking about Tillman's contributions as much as they should be.
No, you're absolutely right. I think Tillman was unbelievable, you know, yesterday. I think him, and you can always win with a great point guard and a big, and they have that. Tillman's a great player. I mean, he does things that he's more valuable than Teske, because he's faster, he defends a little better, he's quicker, he rebounds probably a little better, and he can play from the perimeter now, and he hits shots from outside. I mean, you know, he hits that first three, it's like, oh boy, this is not good when he can stretch the defense like that. So I think that probably put Juwan Howard in a little bit of a, oh, man, we can't just leave guys wide open, and apparently they can shoot. I think you're absolutely right. Tillman, he was great the last two games. And he's been really, really good for a while now. I mean, let's just be honest. When we get the next step of talk with Michigan State, this happens a lot in basketball. You've seen it. I've seen it. Cassius Winston will have a game, and you just hope it's not in March, where he doesn't play well, where he just doesn't – he isn't that guy that we always see. There's always going to be a game like that where, you know, your best player doesn't play really well. Look last year. You know, I wouldn't say he played bad, but he wasn't dominant, I guess. The right staking, where Aaron Henry played like crap, let's just say it. And Wright State's feeling good about themselves. They're putting pressure on Michigan State, and everyone's about to have a panic attack. There's got to be another player where you can say, because we have him, we can make that next step. The reason why I bring up Marcus Bingham a lot isn't on offense. It's because of his ability to block shots, possibly. He had shown that against Illinois. Where against Michigan, mm-hmm. you're right, he did not. He got beat up inside. He's the guy where, because of your length on the perimeter and you can pressure the ball, and Cassius is smart enough on defense, you have three guys out there. And then even when you bring in a Rocket and an Arns, they can put pressure on the ball. They're aggressive. You have Tillman and Bingham inside. Boy, that's just such a monster team to go against defensively. If you look at the team last year that was so hard to beat, who was it? Texas Tech. They had that same situation where you went inside and good luck. They are that good inside with you. They can block shots. They're big on the perimeter. They're aggressive on the perimeter. They dig hard, just like Michigan State is, and they can, you know, block shots. They can rebound well. Michigan State needs that. They need another guy who's going to do everything he can to do big things, whether it's on defense or offense. But I do think when you get to the next step, though, obviously you play teams like Duke, teams like at that level, you do have to have another guy to score. So they're going to have a lot to think about here, Tyler. But I just think with Bingham's ability to block shots at times, to rebound, also hit from outside, stretch the defense when he's on offense. He just needs to get tougher inside, but I think that they're pretty much saying, we're going to throw the ball inside to one guy, and that's Tillman. They're not going to throw the ball inside to Bingham. It's just not going to happen. I don't think he's probably ready for that. So they got everything they need. It's just, how do you use it, you know? But I'm telling you right now, I'm going to make a statement, and I know Michigan State fans will probably cringe, but I'm going to make two statements, actually. I think this team can win the national championship. I don't think this team can win the national championship if Marcus Bingham doesn't become the guy we think he can be, because you got to have him. You just do. You play against Duke, Vernon Carey is going to cancel out Tillman. We've seen that. He's going to dominate Tillman at times. You got to have another big guy. He dominated Bingham. So you got to have him play better, Tyler. And look how many times we've talked about this guy. It's been a lot. So I just think he's still the guy.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm right there with you. He needs to find that consistency. When I say, you know, he had his issues and you got to reconsider what you're doing at the four, I'm not saying you have to bench Bingham and start Hall or Pithier or Marble or whatever. I think it's a situation where Bingham just needs to be a little more consistent. You have to start Bingham every game at this point, because we've seen what he can do when he's at his best. When he's at his best, he's easily the best option. But he's not always at his best. And then Hall is a little bit better. I think in the Michigan game, I think even though he got beat a couple times by Davis, I think
I thought Marble was good yesterday, too.
Yeah, I thought Marble was the second best big for Michigan State outside of Tillman. And so it's like, okay, well, God, now you got to give this kid playing time. But Kithier's also been the best player at times. And it's just, I mean, look, people get upset about Izzo playing so many guys. This year, it's definitely one of those situations where you got to feel a little bit sorry for Izzo, because he knows what everybody can do. It's just he's getting it from different times from different guys, and it's making things really, really difficult.
Yeah. Let me say this too, Tyler. I know that you'll probably enjoy this because, you know, I like to rip Izzo a lot because, you know, number one, I'm not a huge fan of him, but number two, I think sometimes he gets in his head too much. I think what happens is when you look at the Warriors in the NBA for a few years, they play a lot of guys. I mean, Patrick McCall would come in and give great minutes. So it worked for them where, you know, that they had those guys that would play and could hit shots. Quinn Cook has hit shots, you know, for them over the years. You know, when they had Barbosa, he played well for them at times. I mean, you understand what I'm saying. You know, they had guys off the bench that they played a lot. And I know the NBA's game is a little different. You have more minutes, obviously, but it's not that much different. I mean, you need to have role players. You need to have guys step up. I think what needs to happen, honestly, if Bingham just doesn't do it consistent enough, you got to find another guy where you say, I trust him more. I guess that's what I want to see. If Marble is really that athletic, because I thought he was great yesterday, and that was scary. I was like, oh, boy, this guy is really, really good. I mean, he's athletic. He goes after shots. He's faster than Bingham. He has no problem attacking the ball when it's in the air. You know, he's just hasn't played enough, so he needs to get his footing. I guess that's my point. If Marble can be the guy to step up in the next few months, when you get to March, though, you got to know. You got to know who your eight is. You just do. I mean, you cannot beat teams who are playing well and they have that rhythm and that chemistry if you don't know who your eight is. And I don't think right now that he knows exactly who his eight is. I think there's times when Malik Hall's played. There's times when Arns doesn't play enough, and then he plays a lot. Arns was great yesterday. He had a couple big threes, played hard on defense. He's a guy they probably need. He's another wing guy. He's that Langford guy who is not as good, obviously, but he hits shots from outside. It's another shooter. You need that. But I guess that's my point. And my point of all this is I think Bingham's still a guy because of his talent. But if he can't get it done, you got to know who your eight's going to be in March. Because I want to see a national championship in this state. As much as I love Michigan, I'm not a state fan, I think state has enough. I think they have enough. And you just hope for that. You hope that it will happen. So there's a lot that we'll find out.
And I think one of the options, too, I mean, part of it is a matchup situation, because I wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing teams go smaller. Like, one big, three wings and a point. I wouldn't be surprised if you would see a lineup with Winston, Watson, Henry in the backcourt, but then you play Gabe Brown at the four. He's 6'7", he's lengthy. He attacks the rim unlike, you know, anybody I've seen since Brandon Dawson, just with some of that reckless abandon. And he can get up there.
Yeah, I remember.
6'7", he's really lengthy. And he's very, like, he's one of those guys who I think, you know, you could make things really, really difficult for those teams that are like, okay, you know what, we're going to try to get Bingham out on some of these smaller guys. I think if you throw, that wrench into it, I think Izzo can find any rotation that he needs out of those guys. You have a 6'7" guy like Malik Hall who kind of does everything but doesn't do anything great. And then you have Bingham who blocks shots but has issues setting screens and gets bullied sometimes. And you have Marble who just fights with everybody. And Kithier is probably the most cerebral of those four. And then, like I said, if it's a smaller team, you can go Gabe Brown. You have those options, at least, to where you can match up against anybody in March should anybody who plays that four position play to their ability. Because, like I said, Marble was the best one yesterday. But Bingham was the best one against Illinois. And Malik Hall was the best one against Seton Hall. You know, you've got to find that one guy.
Yeah, no, I think it comes down to how well can they play defense, because it's still going to be the staple. It's the staple for most teams, if not all teams. You know, how well can you defend? There's certain teams it's just going to be really hard to stop them, and I think we know that when we play Duke. When they have someone like Trey Jones who can match up with Cassius Winston, he's probably – you know, one of the few point guards in the country who on any given night, you might say Trey Jones could get the best of them. So you're going to have that matchup eventually. And then you'll see it in the Big Ten a little bit against Maryland, you know, that they obviously have a very good point guard. But really, I don't see another team that's going to give them a whole lot of problems there. I mean, I think Indiana's obviously tough at the guard spot. So is Purdue, but they're not on that level. You get my point here, where Maryland has a point guard who's really, really good, who he could, maybe on any given night also I'll play Cassius Winston. You're going to have to probably get it done on defense. And I do think the shot blocking ability of Bingham makes it tough, especially with Brown and Henry on the wing defending with Winston up top. Boy, that's really tough, man. When you see those five guys out there, that's a lot of length. That's a lot of length from the wing and the inside presence. It's just a tough team. I mean, it really is. And it's a fun team to watch. But to end on it, Cassius Winston is just spectacular. I mean, it's just being a basketball guy, like, you know, both of us are, Tyler, you almost just watch him and go, wow, you know, it's just so much fun to watch this guy. And it's almost sad that we got to see him go after this year. I wish he had another year, even though he does just destroy my Wolverines. He's just fun to watch. Me being a point guard, I just love what he can do. You know, let's end on him. I mean, I know we've had this discussion a little bit, and I know I'm kind of throwing a little bit of a wrench in topic here, but it's hard not to say and this is going to be out there, Magic's the best, obviously.
Right.
But it's hard for me not to say Cassius Winston is the next point guard. I know people are like, wait. But if you really look at it, I love Mateen. Mateen's my guy. We love Mateen. Mateen's been on our show.
Yeah.
And Mateen would probably pump up Cassius as much as we would. It's hard for me to, especially the last 2 years. I mean, maybe I haven't seen a two-year run like this besides Magic Johnson for Michigan State. But just talk about his legacy. Talk about where you maybe even would rank him, because I'm going to tell you, Tyler, I'm just going to go out there and do it. I think he's the second best point guard Michigan State has ever had, and that's scary good.
I think the defining line of where that's going to be is depending upon what Michigan State does. Because, see, I have a different way of ranking these guys. And, you know, Magic Johnson, look, for my money, second best player in the history of the NBA. Second best basketball player ever. End of story when you look at that. Now, if you're looking at, is Magic Johnson the best point guard at Michigan State ever? No. You know, that's Mateen Cleaves. Mateen Cleaves, you know, Big Ten all-time assist leader, single-game assist leader, was the season assist leader until last year. Mateen Cleaves, what he has done for the university, the guys that he helped bring in, you know, obviously Antonio Smith and Mo Pete kind of started it off, but Mateen Cleaves was the guy who got Charlie there. Mateen Cleaves did some of that recruiting. As far as what he's done for the university, the national championship, kind of helping Izzo put Michigan State back on the map, Mateen Cleaves is best point guard in Michigan State history. And
yeah.
So when you look at it like that, you know, Cassius Winston's legacy is going to depend upon where he goes this year. He's obviously going to break Mateen Cleaves' record for assists. Yesterday they were saying if he keeps going at the rate that he's going this year, he'll end up second or third all-time at Michigan State for scoring as well.
It's just crazy considering, isn't it? Think of his sophomore year where the player he was then to now. It's incredible.
Yeah, and it's another testament to Tom Izzo, how he develops these guys like a Valentine and Draymond Green and these guys who – and then Drew Neitzel, who you sit there and you're like, God, you know what? He may be a career backup. He'll be solid, and I like this kid for the effort he puts in, but he's going to be a career backup. And then all of a sudden it's like, man, he's the best player in the country.
Yeah.
And,
I want to end on this with Cassius, so we don't have much time, Tyler. I'm sorry to rush you. You know, we both got to head out. I know you're heading back to the real job just like I got to. You know, me and Tyler try to fit this in as quick as possible. We're excited about Cassius Winston, obviously. I want to say this, and I'll let you end on him. Cassius Winston, if you're an NBA person, please don't judge so quickly. Please don't just look at his speed and all his testing numbers. Watch the darn game against Duke last year. Watch what he's done the last 2 years in multiple different games. Watch what he did last night against a really big Michigan team. See what he can do on the floor. Understand that he can hit from outside. He can hit mid-range. He's a great passer. And stop judging so fast. And, yeah, maybe he's not the quickest defender, but he's not a terrible defender. I'm really tired of guys that stay for 4 years in college and they get booted because of the perception that they're not athletic or they're not talented. You give me Cassius Winston over a lot of guys that are one and done any day of the week if I want to win a basketball game, period, end of story. So I really hope that happens for Cassius. Why don't you end on a time and we'll get out of here. But I'm pulling for Cassius. It's been incredible. It's a story, too. I mentioned that before you came on, Tyler. It's like a movie. I mean, boy, what a story it would be if Michigan State wins it all, considering what he has went through and what this Spartan family's went through. It would be remarkable.
Oh, yeah, it'd be huge. And I'm right there with you, you know. We talked about his defense a little bit. Saturday? We talked about how he plays that defense. He plays it in a way that it's a lot more cerebral. When he digs, how he digs. You saw him rip Teske yesterday. He sat there, he dug, he went back out, covered his guy. Teske turned his head, and he's like, "Huh, this thing's mine." And
yeah, I've seen that. Believe me.
Yeah, he took off running the other way. Like he plays.
Don't remind me.
He understands what he can and cannot do. And so he plays to his strengths. And at the same time, his defense was still an issue last season for about halfway through the season. So not only does he play to his strengths, he makes his weaknesses better. And that's something that you don't see a lot of these cerebral players do. You see them play their strengths and stick to their strengths. But kind of like, you know, I talked about him already, kind of like Draymond. Draymond saw what he was not that great at and got better at it and now can literally do anything he wants in the NBA. Obviously, Cassius won't be able to do it because he doesn't have that size. But as far as, you know, Cassius may be able to defend more athletic point guards where you see even some of these athletic guys struggling against them. And
well, think about
I feel
this.
Like
John
Beilein,
who would you rather
enough.
Have? Who would you rather have, John Beilein, as your point guard for the Cleveland Cavaliers? Colin Sexton or Cassius Winston? That's my point.
The guy that's
I
not
want
gonna
Cassius
make Kevin
Winston.
Love get pissed.
Right, exactly. Thank you.
Got it. Cassius Winston pick and roll would be dope.
Fire. I'd love it. I would love it. I know John Beilein would love it too because he has a high respect for Spartan and he's seen him. He's seen him a lot. So look, I mean, this show was predicated a lot on Cassius. Yeah, don't remind me. You know, I was in a better mood today. I calmed down. The rivalry makes me say things I probably regret, but at least I don't say it on a public forum like some of these yahoos. But Tyler gets to hear my wrath typically before the game, and it's never pretty.
I'll
so Monday, don't screenshot the things I say. They're not that good. But Michigan State, congrats. They win. They were great. Cassius was great. You know, exciting time, man, exciting time. And this rivalry is good, though. I mean, the Free Press said some good stuff today. It's kind of fun to have this state have something worth talking about because, let's just be honest, there's not a whole lot of things to look forward to in pro sports. So, hey, thanks for tuning in. For Tyler Hayward, I'm Jay File. This rivalry will continue. We're going to get excited for the February matchup. Let's see what adjustments that Juwan Howard can make. The Jolly Green Spartans are the winners, and they – stuck their chest out yesterday, and Michigan had no answer. And Cassius Winston, he rules everything around here in the state of Michigan. We know that. So thanks again for tuning in. Give us your feedback. Share, like, comment. We're excited about this rivalry. We're excited about this season. Hey, we're getting close to March. A lot to cover. But Michigan State, book it. This is a national championship team if they put it all together the next few months.